The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
The laws from 1864, why those white cowboy bastards, baby murderers unite. And that's the strategy.
That's not Cloward Piven. Cloward Piven is to overwhelm the services so that they implode, and when you rebuild them, you nationalize them. Fail on every front so that it becomes white noise and nobody can focus on the specific failures. That's Barack Obama's strategy. And it's working. Because now everybody is talking about abortion in Arizona. How could they possibly do it in Arizona? I personally don't give a rip about it, because the idea that somebody is capable of killing their own baby is a despicable disgrace. But it is a good explanation in the reasoning of why our principles of this nation have collapsed so far in the year 2024. And it seems to be the strategy that will move forward so that Joe Biden and the Democrats can steal the election, because I still refuse to believe there's more people that want to kill their baby than people who understand what life is, the preciousness, and how it is supposed to be protected, especially when it can't protect itself. I mean, after all, most parents didn't want to kill their kids until they were about 15, 16. However, you see, now that's scandalous, right? And they gasp. Well, why is that scandalous? Is it different when you kill your baby and the baby can't talk? Or is it still as breathtaking as somebody who says, I want to kill my kid when he's 16 and talks back to me? Do you see how they've been able to contort the logic? I think it's far more vile, far more evil when somebody would look down at a helpless little baby or not even have the courage to look at it and kill it. It's an evil that I can't wrap my head around. But then again, I'm not a Democrat. I don't pretend to be. But it does cancel out the white noise of the dimwit in diapers. It also makes people forget. He's been a whore for 50 years. There's no question about it. He's amassed a fortune. We have payments from communists, payments from oligarchs, payments from recipients of our foreign policy money that have bribed him. Not to mention, he's suffering.
We're the United States of America. There is nothing beyond our capacity. Nothing. If we do it together.
And there was a little cough in the hand, little old man phlegm. He's dissolving in front of our eyes, but we're not the United States of America. And if what was on the ballot wasn't a presidential election, but a secession movement, I think we would definitely secede. States would go their own way, and they should. But they need to keep it together. And the reason they need to keep it together is because there's a lot of money being stolen, a lot of money being misappropriated. See, this is what I like to focus on. To me, this is far more important than some ghetto rat that wants to kill their baby and not pay for it. To me, this is where the scandal is.
Not too long ago, that was 6 weeks after Iran killed three American soldiers. So you gave Iraq permission to give Iran $10 billion, didn't you?
No, Senator. As I mentioned, this was something that started in 2018 under the Trump administration. It allowed Iraq to purchase electricity and to store that money in Iraq. None of that money to date will ever go to Iran. The money is being held for humanitarian purposes.
You're not telling the truth, Mr. Secretary. No disrespect.
This is Secretary Awali Adeyemo. He's just some other moron, Marxist mafia member, with a tremendous amount of power. But in this, he reveals the way that they capitalize on a rule, the way they expand it. But more importantly, you're talking about $10 billion, which when you talk about Iraq, they don't have any money. They have nothing. They have no industry. They're like Palestine, Gaza. Pick one of the sphincter countries on the world that wants to live on a theocracy rather than principles. They have no money, but they are funding the ones that have oil, that are building nuclear weapons, that want to spread that Sharia nonsense throughout the world. And we're the ones financing. And Biden's secretary, Dawadi, he tells you that all the money, the billions, not just the 10, but many more, are in Qatar. And Qatar is in control of it.
But that's just not true. Senator Menendez and Senator Scott made the point. We all know, unless you peaked in high school, you know that money is fungible. You also, the Biden administration also paid Iran $6 billion to release five of our prisoners, didn't it?
Senator, again, that money is in Qatar. None of that money has been used. It hasn't been moved. And as I said earlier, while money is fungible in the United States because we care about our people, it's not fungible for the Iranians.
So the money's in Qatar, in a bank in Qatar?
Yes.
Now, what do you...
Kennedy starts stuttering because he's talking to a deputy treasurer secretary that didn't get the job because he's smart. Oh, no. He's got all the qualifications, including this ridiculous name. He's got it all, and he's Janet Yellen's pool boy on top of it. In the meantime, how many billions are in Qatar? I mean, we now know that they're liaisons for cartels in Central and South America, Mexico. We also know that they're funding terrorists, not just Hamas, but Hezbollah, not to mention the other ones that that Joe Biden gave a country to in Afghanistan, the Taliban.
You think, who controls that bank in Qatar?
Those banks are controlled by those individuals who run that financial institution.
I see. So if President Biden says Qatar Bank, don't give this money to Iran, and the Qatar government says give the money to Iran, who do you think the Qatar Bank's going to listen to, Mr. Secretary?
So, Senator, those banks in Qatar value greatly their ability to have a relationship
right.
with the United States because
right.
that's how they make money.
Do you believe
ultimately,
in the tooth fairy?
Ultimately, if we cut off those banks, they will no longer be able to make money.
Do you believe in the Easter Bunny?
So, Senator, while I understand your point,
how many Biden officials have been investigated for treason to the Iranian theocrats? How many? Is it just two or is it three now? By the way, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, and the CIA communist, the ex-CIA leader, John Brennan, believe that there's still Russian collusion between Vladimir Putin and Trump. But nobody wants to look at the freaking money that's being stolen from the American people. I didn't even mention the Ukrainian Azov Nazis.
Mentally, none of that money has gone to Iran, and that money is not going to go directly to Iran.
Now, you did the same thing with my...
This is today. Is this being talked about anywhere? No. Of course not. What we have to focus on is this.
But I do want to go out to some breaking news that happened within the last hour. The Arizona Supreme Court has upheld the 1864 abortion ban, pretty much making abortion illegal, pretty much all abortions except for life of the mother illegal. In the state of Arizona, and the Arizona Attorney General making this statement saying the decision made by the Arizona Supreme Court today is unconscionable and an affront.
It's like Iran or Iraq or Hezbollah. What is it called? Palestine? Sure it is. It's like Afghanistan. They don't have abortion either. They just kill us and the Jews.
To freedom there. We are going to listen to the governor and other state officials react to this breaking news.
Hello, and thank you all for joining us. It is a dark day in Arizona. Just now, the Arizona Supreme
Court... Why, did an illegal alien kill another citizen? No. That's not the dark day. What's the dark day?
Court issued its opinion in Planned Parenthood v. Mays, upholding one of the most extreme abortion bans in the country. And while it is currently stayed, we continue to live under an unacceptable ban.
Doesn't she sound wonderful, like a 14-year-old Valley girl? She's not qualified either. She's the Secretary of State that allowed the election to be stolen in Arizona, so she was rewarded with the governorship, which was also an election riddled in scandal. But she's a loyal Democrat, and she understands how to play the game. Because this will cancel out the real story of the day. The story of the day is that for the entire 4 years of the Biden administration, Qatar has been in charge of all of the money that we pretend we're giving in the form of humanitarian aid and electricity for Iraq.
Maduro, you meaning the Biden administration, you guys did the same thing with Maduro in Venezuela.
Oh, yeah, then there's that. How did that work out? Well, he emptied out the prisons and the hospitals for the mental cases, and now they're in Arizona. But the Arizona governor, she's worried about abortion.
You removed all the sanctions on oil and mining, including gold, with Maduro, the dictator of Venezuela, didn't you?
So GL 44 and 43 were put in place in Venezuela. 43 has...
Is that a yes?
GL 43 has been removed.
You can't get a yes. It's the white noise where the scandal is always offset by another scandal, by another atrocity, by another failure. And that's the game. Because simultaneously with that...
Loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income and even if you did not graduate. So I'm going to repeat that. If you've paid undergraduate loans for more than 20 years or graduate loans for more than 25 years, those loans will be completely forgiven regardless of your income and even if you did not graduate.
Regardless of what the Supreme Court said is the other regardless tramp whore. Vice President, excuse me. In the meantime, the excuses continue. And they always stay on offense, which is really quite brilliant.
We know that when it comes to guns, it is the number one killer of our children. And that.
No. The number one killer of our children is abortion, you moron. In fact, we're at about, 65, maybe 72 million? And in the meantime, somehow the guns, that's the problem. The guns aren't the problem. It's the problem. And the same thing in the abortion mills. It's always the Democrats. And in the meantime, look who's running things.
I get instructions from my wife, who's a school teacher. She said, make sure you say hello to the mayor.
Is there a student of Jill Biden? Because Jill Biden was never a school teacher. She was the wife of a campaign contributor to Biden, who started stooping Joe Biden and probably Hunter and God knows who else. In the meantime, she was never a teacher. But she is the one giving the orders.
What, in your view, constitutes the primary threat to freedom and democracy at home?
Donald Trump. Seriously. Wrong. Donald Trump uses phrases like, you're going to eviscerate the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator on day one.
Just like Joe Biden is on day whatever. Because this is how he governs. And in the meantime, the money is yet again being stolen from the American people. Although I wonder, do these illegal rats who get work permits and take our jobs, do they get their money stolen too?
Friday's jobs numbers could be revised down after that happened with 12 of the past 14 reports. On Friday, the Bureau of Labor Statistics did report 303,000 workers were hired last month, but the job gains have largely gone to foreign-born workers, both legal and illegal immigrants.
Didn't we cover this Friday afternoon, Squirrel? I believe we did. Way to catch up there, mainstream.
From February 2020 to this past March, the number of migrant workers grew to 3.4 million, while the number of U.S.-born workers declined by 78,000 over the same period.
Not all of them are working either.
An 18-year-old undocumented migrant from El Salvador has been arrested in Mendota for murdering a man and dismembering his body.
Let's call it an illegal alien abortion. We'll end up paying for it. 312-642-5600.
Make money, smoke cigars, and live free on The Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
White noise. Slow walk the failures. Riddled in scandals. Soon they start to cancel each other. After all, we're still... We get any answers about the lies the government told us about COVID or the vaccine? I don't think we've ever gotten those answers. But here we are facing yet another so-called election. All you have to do is pretend that you're going to take away some rat bastard's right to kill their kid and not be charged with a crime. In the meantime, didn't the conservatives, Tea Party and all that, didn't they have a mission that they were going to do some? I can't remember what it was, Squirrel. Do you remember?
Did the president mean to essentially accused Republicans of murder. I mean, the language that he was using to describe opposition to the Affordable Care Act, the quote was, they want to terminate the Affordable Care Act. Terminate, well, guess what? Killing millions of Americans. Does he think that Republicans...
No. That's abortion kills millions of Americans. But now all of a sudden we can't talk about Obamacare? It's the third rail! You mean like abortion or Social Security or defense spending or the Ponzi scheme? What exactly do you mean? Doesn't matter. Just fail across the board. This way none of them can fit through the keyhole of the American public's attention, except for one.
A law that still strips Arizonans of their personal autonomy and has no exceptions for women who are the victims of rape or incest.
There we go again. Infinitesimal. It's like the CO2 of actual abortions. It's 1/10 of 1/2 of 1/2 of 1%. And there you go. Rape and abortion. Get the hell out of here, you lying rat Democrats. Ron in Countryside.
Hello. I wanted to say that this couple that just got sentenced to 10 years for their son that shot 4 students, they bought him the gun.
Uh-huh.
Why not charge Mayorkas with involuntary manslaughter with all the fentanyl and all the immigrant murders?
Oh, Ron. Come on, you're being political, and Chuck Schumer told you so.
Colleagues say you're going to offer a motion to dismiss the impeachment charges on Thursday. Are you at all concerned that if some Democrats in tough races vote for that, you can come back to haunt them on the campaign trail?
Look, we're going to try and resolve this issue as quickly as possible. Impeachment should never be used to settle policy disagreements.
Leadership.
So the 114,000 Americans that have died from the cartel trafficked fentanyl, in which the Hezbollah and the theocrats and the sphincter of the world called the Middle East profit from, that's all on the side. Come on, Ron, pay attention. It's obviously...
I was just thinking if things fall apart for Fannie Willis, maybe she'd take it on.
I think anything's possible, and I don't know how everything... did you see her in the dress? Has anything ever been together for Fannie Willis? Thank you, though, very much. Teresa, Brass Coast.
Brass Coast is out here, Sean.
Man, I hope you got bulletproof windows.
Not yet, but I'm thinking about it.
Sure.
Regarding the hiring of illegal aliens, the employers need to stop hiring the illegal aliens. If there's any question, ask for their papers. Stop hiring them.
Let's cut a break, though. This isn't employers. This is the $20 billion wrapped up in a bill that creates non-government entities called NGOs. I'm going to cough. Hit the button, squirrel. And that $20 billion is laundered to pretend that the illegal aliens are viable and have a job. We covered this on Friday. This isn't actual companies or mom-and-pop stores hiring illegal aliens. That's a myth. This is taxpayers paying for illegal aliens in the same way the taxpayers pay Middle Eastern terrorists. Thank you very much, Teresa. I appreciate the call. Squirrel, go to a... I got a cough.
This is the Sean Thompson Show, where Democrats are always wrong, Republicans are seldom right, and politicians are never, ever to be trusted. On AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer.
Is that P. Diddy? Oh, because you know P. Diddy stole that riff and then made a song about it after the fat guy got shot. I forgot his name, the fat rapper. But P. Diddy, he's all in for Joe Biden. I wonder if it has anything to do with the pedophilia allegations and whatnot.
If this man is elected, we're not standing by no more getting killed. We're not scared of anybody standing up and standing by. We're on the verge of a race war. White men like Trump need to be banished. That way of thinking, it's real dangerous. Mm-hmm. When you look at it, we don't have no choice. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You can say what you want about Biden. I can't say I love the pick either. But hey, we got to get him in office. Mm-hmm. And then we got to hold him accountable.
And then you won't be prosecuted. In the meantime, yesterday, Biden, in preparation for a Baby Murderer Unite movement, drops a commercial called Willow's Box.
This is one of our Willow boxes. This is just filled with some of the things that we had started gathering for her while I was pregnant.
Yep.
Now, simultaneous with this, it says on the screen, because Donald Trump killed Roe v. Wade, Amanda was denied standard medical care to prevent an infection, comma, and then it says an abortion. All right. I don't know. Okay.
Here's her little baby book. This is the outfit that she was gonna maybe wear home from the hospital.
So you're mad you didn't get the abortion, or you're sad that you had a miscarriage because it says doctors were forced to send her home. But you have to remember it's a Democrat commercial, so the odds are that all of this is a staged lie, except for the fact that the woman's baby died.
All of these. This is the blanket that she was in.
So it's a commercial about abortion where the mother who lost the baby is so torn up it doesn't sound like she's ever going to recover. And it says the infection caused so much damage, Amanda may never get pregnant again. Can't help but notice it says may nevers, which means she probably did get pregnant. And at the end it says simply, Donald Trump did this.
And these are her little footprints.
I wonder if Whoopi Goldberg left Planned Parenthood after her so many abortions, she can't remember how many, crying like this lady. Somehow, this is a commercial for abortion.
Okay. I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Ah, boy, it could have went anywhere. I'm Joe Biden, and
idiot.
I soiled my pants. I'm Joe Biden, and I need a change. In the meantime, the next day...
Any regard for pregnancy complications... Let me be clear. Arizona's 2022 abortion ban is extreme and hurts women. And the near total Civil War era ban that continues to hang over our heads only serves to create more chaos for women and doctors in our state.
Boy, did the FBI release any of the laptop information of exactly how many people bribe Joe Biden, the sitting president, or is that not news anymore?
So if crime's everywhere, why do they say crime's down?
A new report from the FBI shows that there was a 13% decline in murder.
Despite what the data shows, which we've been talking about, the fact that crime is going down in most places is not registering with the public.
I can safely walk my dog to the Capitol today in a way that you couldn't do when we all got here.
I'm glad Pete can walk his dog, but why should we believe the FBI? Well, turns out we shouldn't. The Washington Examiner did some digging and discovered the FBI's been cooking the books. Did you know about half the country doesn't send their crime statistics to the FBI? So the FBI just estimates the number of crimes and then they estimate in the wrong direction.
Boy, they should go work for the jobs division. In the meantime, all of this will be negated. And that's the play. So that baby murderers unite, and you could sweep under the rug all of the decades of corruption and failure that is the legacy of not just Joe Biden, but the Democrats in total. Corey Woodlawn.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Sean. You know, they're trying to make this about what they want to make it about. This is about the third world merging into our communities. You ride down the street, these guys, I mean, this is getting out of control, and now they want to make it about abortion? This is about profligate spending. This is about them picking... MS-13 gang members and dropping them off in cities like Chicago and New York. They don't want to account for their sins. They want to make it about what they want to make it about.
Did you ever hear of the book called Return of the Primitives? Did you ever hear of it?
No, I never heard of that one.
It's written in the 50s, maybe. 50s or 60s. It's describing exactly what we're living through. This is what happens. This is how people react when societies collapse. Ironically, the flaw of humanity is they turn to their abuser for help. And that's what the Biden administration, the Democrats, and the corrupt Republicans are relying on. The sad part is, Corey, it seems to be working, especially in big cities. But we'll remain optimistic. Thank you very much for making the call. It's really that simple. That's why Katie Hobbs and the 1864 in Arizona. Arizona steeped in scandal. Election scandal, allegations of fraud, ballot harvesting, made up ballot, all swept under the rug. Not to mention the other pesky little problem that's been happening because of the policies of Joe Robinette and the Marxist mafia called Democrats.
New this morning, police have arrested several people after a fight broke out at the Randall's Island Migrant Shelter. The NYPD says five residents were taken into custody and charges are pending. Investigators say a security guard who tried to intervene suffered minor injuries. There have been several violent incidents at this particular shelter this year. Back in January, a migrant was stabbed to death in the shelter cafeteria.
And during today's, I guess, campaign, I don't know what this guy's doing, this dummy, other side from embarrassing the nation. He still promotes lies every time he opens his freaking mouth.
The last administration enacted a $2 trillion tax cut, overwhelmingly benefiting the very wealthy and the biggest corporations, and exploded the federal deficit more than any other president has. We've cut the deficit, by the way.
Governments, when put together, are $10.4 trillion a year. Your state, federal, and local governments. That's what they're spending. And they have to. Not to mention the federal government is spending at record levels that exceed Trump's ridiculous reaction to COVID by imitating the velocity of money and kicking out $6 trillion in 1 year. He's still beating it. And why not? He got away with it. George in Naperville.
Sean, where's the concern for all the benefits the migrants have been given if they do become employees?
You're asking if they will be promised Social Security?
No, what I'm saying to you is they've been given everything already. What happens when they go get a job? Will it take away what, you know, their housing and everything else they've been given?
No, the stipulations are they'll be within like food stamps now. It's 200 times the poverty line, which is why so many Americans are receiving food stamps. None of that matters anymore. Otherwise, they would have to adopt the old philosophy of the old Democrats back when their biggest scandal was, you know, rape and cheating on a wife that everybody understood why.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why
he was like Karnak. Who would have guessed it? Karnak. And he liked interns. Eduardo, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Sean, I think former Mayor Lightfoot should be investigating why this Dexter Reed was carrying a gun, because he deserved to be shot, in my opinion.
Wait, I didn't hear what you said. The phone broke up. What? Who got shot? What happened?
The 20-year-old that everybody's discussing over there in Chicago in that white van. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, that's what she should be investigating, mental health in the black community.
Can she get paid? What is she making to cozy up to her wannabe
Lori? $400 an hour, that's what I heard.
$400 an hour. Wow. I gotta tell my free legal advice, 380 pounds of free legal advice, because I'm not paying him $400 an hour. I give him two cigars and he gives me a good legal opinion. Rich, Indian Head Park.
Hey, Sean, how are you today?
Good, brother. How are you?
Good. Sean, I keep talking about the ceasefire in Gaza. The question I have to ask, why don't they ever call for a ceasefire in Ukraine?
Because there's not enough money to be made with the Palestinians. They don't like sharing. They've already given them their money. It's already in Qatar. This is about pandering the votes and shoring up an election, which should be a walkaway for anybody with an IQ over 60. But once you get the people on the side who are gaining money and favoritism from government, they'll elect virtually anybody. And I don't think we've ever had a better proof of that in Joseph Robinette Biden.
Under my plan, nobody earning less than $400,000 a year will pay an extra penny in taxes. I hope that is best.
Boy, and nobody will figure out we're all paying more in one form of taxation or another. I mean, we're not going to go into Econ 102 and try to explain the taxation of inflation to the Democrat morons, are we?
Inflation's at 3.2%. It's higher than it was in January. Are there any concerns that the disinflation we saw last year is starting to stall out?
So, look, I'm going to say that this is a president that is doing everything that we can to fight him.
Everything we can to shore up votes.
The new proposed student loan debt relief plan from the Biden administration aims at putting a cap on what's known as runaway interest. Many borrowers are not able to pay their loans due to high and recently risen interest rates.
You mean like mortgages or credit card payments? Or how about car loans? Ah, you're not the favored class.
Current plan, the proposal plan, I should say, is to forgive some of that amount of accumulated interest that keeps growing because students can't pay it off or borrowers can't.
Where in the world is Mike Johnson, Squirrel? Where is Mike Johnson? The whole society is collapsing. Congress keeps writing a check. Where is that little weasel?
Democracy is messy sometimes, but it is our system. This conference that you see, this House Republican majority is united. This group here is ready to govern, and we're going to govern well. We're going to do what's right by the people. And I believe that people are going to reward that next year. But we have a lot of big priorities ahead of us right now. The world is on fire. We stand with our ally, Israel. We have a very busy agenda. We have appropriations bills to get through the process. But you're
Oh, yeah. I know, Squirrel. That's not from now. That's from when he first got the gavel. Now he's just quiet in the corner waiting for a lobbyist to drop off a check. I wouldn't vote straight Republican ticket no matter what. You vote one guy and one guy only. And if you know somebody who's running in your area, and he's not a low-life scumbag, fine. But don't dare vote straight ticket. 312-642-5600.
He will never negotiate his constitutional rights with the government. Live free or die on The Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
I can't remember nothing, no, no, no. But the good time we used to serve.
Did you send those disco albums to Gaza?
No. CIA Director Bill Burns is presenting a new proposal to bring peace to Israel. The deal calls for pushing Israel to release more Palestinian prisoners. In exchange, Hamas would free what are thought to be 40 Israeli hostages in the first phase.
So they kidnap innocent hostages, rape, pillage. And they're going to use that to get their terrorists out of prison. And the CIA and the American government says, yeah? Well, let's go to another CIA operative. Now they call him Jake Sullivan, spokes idiot for the Biden idiots.
Our policy going forward is going to be determined by whether we see sustained follow through on specific, concrete, measurable steps to prevent.
Did they give back the hostages? There are no steps. Give them back or we'll kill every one of you. What happened to that? Oh, the CIA says no.
Of a three-stage ceasefire deal. The U.S. also wants Palestinians who fled northern Gaza to be allowed to return home. All the leaders involved agreed to look over the proposal.
So I was listening to a European debate, a guy by the name of Douglas Murray. And he was confronted with the talking points by the Democrat morons. And I love what he did here.
There are repercussions for Hamas for starting a war against Israel.
There didn't be repercussions for an illegal occupation.
What's the illegal occupation?
Of Israel against the Palestinians.
Where?
That is an illegal occupation.
Where?
It is a determined illegal occupation.
Gaza?
Of course, Gaza and the West Bank.
Have you been to Gaza?
Yes, I have.
Is it occupied by the Israelis?
It's completely sealed off, as you know.
By who?
By the Israelis.
And who?
By the Israelis, by the U.S. and whoever else.
And who else?
And who else? You see, that's all you have to do is question the idiots. Because all they speak is in talking points.
The Israelis. Isn't that enough?
No, tell me who else is allegedly sealing the Gaza.
I'm saying that Israel has completely encircled Gaza. Nothing goes in, nothing goes
out. Gaza
has. As you know.
Well, as you know, if you be, Gaza also has a border with Egypt. Why do you not?
What? Nobody ever talks about it. And that's why the surrounding nations don't want Hamas.
Mention Egypt. Our views might differ, but the facts are the facts.
They're not the facts anymore. None of it's about facts. If it was, you wouldn't have a Democrat sitting anywhere in your local government or all the way up in Washington, D.C. This is not about facts. This is about propaganda. It's about hyperbole. This is about idiots repeating talking points.
They also, Israeli officials also argue, this war could end tomorrow if Hamas freed the hostages and laid down the arms. Do you disagree?
I do disagree, because when we are talking about famine, the actions of Hamas should not be tied to whether a three-year-old can eat.
Hamas is their government, stupid. Like you. If it wasn't for good people bailing out your Democrat rats, you wouldn't eat either. Maybe that's why she's pro-Hamas. Because if the Democrats couldn't take money from the non-Democrats, they wouldn't eat.
The actions of Hamas do not justify forcing thousands, hundreds of thousands of people to eat grass as their bodies consume themselves.
Then they should throw out their government of terrorists. But then again, did they really object to it? That seems to be the question.
Gaza is only about 25 miles long and 7 miles wide, but this small strip of land is one of the most fought over in history. It was an Egyptian base, a royal city for the Philistines, and the place where the Hebrew hero Samson, betrayed by Delilah, met his death.
Hebrew hero? Not to mention, it was a base. It had a port. How come it was never developed? Why was it never developed? Was that Israel, Egypt, or Hamas that refused to develop it, that never had a GDP? Their big claim is that they did have a GDP. It wasn't selling drugs. Of course it was. It was furniture. Have you ever stumbled upon a Hamas-Palestine chair? Me either, squirrel. It's not about facts. It's about nonsense and propaganda, because it becomes another money laundering scheme. Just like Ukraine, although the Ukrainians, even though they celebrate the Azov Nazis, they don't make their women walk around like beekeepers.
But right now, I think it's fair to say Ukraine has the upper hand. Ukraine is winning its war thanks to the enormous support we and others have provided. And we need to keep the pressure on Putin. But right
Which
now,
means
I think
that
it's
they're
fair
stealing
to-
the money. It's always about the money. And if there's any threat, just blame Putin and the Russians.
So it's who benefits from it? Donald Trump. Who benefits from Donald Trump? Putin. There's, in my view, a connection there.
Who benefited from NVIDIA stock calls bought at $175 when it's $1,000 today? You and your husband, who can make a hammer stink in about 0.4 of a second. 312-642-5600.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer.
Signature Bank is Chicago's fastest-growing independently-owned business bank. It's a bank where relationships still matter. Signature Bank knows your name and your story. I'm Dan Proft, and I know this because Signature Bank is my business bank.
I'm Frank Vance, co-owner of Egan Vance Insurance Agency on Chicago's Northwest Side and a customer of Signature Bank. In my line of work, we pride ourselves on being there for our clients when they need it the most, and we recognize when someone does the same for us. As Egan Vance was expanding, we wanted to buy a much sought-after building in the neighborhood. We couldn't waste any time. I called Signature Bank, and that was all it took. I didn't have to talk to multiple people in silo departments with multiple forms to fill out. One call did it all. As the one who was always looking out for my clients, it was a great change to know that my bank, Signature Bank, was looking out for me.
Signature Bank is looking for their next success story. To learn more about turning your business vision into reality, visit signaturebank.bank. Signature Bank, helping local businesses succeed. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy.
After my last interview with my next guest, I couldn't wait for the next time I got to talk to him. Well, here it is. I enjoy talking to him very much. He's a medical doctor, a retired associate professor of medicine at Brown University Medical School. He's also an author. He's the author of the book, The Legacy of Jihad, or as it's called in my neighborhood, Yihad, and The Legacy of Islamic Anti-Semitism, pretty much since the first day. He is Dr. Andrew Bostom. How are you, doctor?
Very good, Sean. Good to be with you again.
You too. I tell you, we are devolving into a world of primitives, just as Ayn Rand predicted. It's shocking to me as I watch people who would be not just rejected by the Islamic fundamentalists or the radical Islamo-Nazis, but they would be killed by these very people. As simultaneously in America, they're not only pushing for all of the lifestyle changes that is rejected by the Islamo-Nazi, but they're pushing for abortion. What exactly is the stance on abortion by Hamas?
I doubt they're in favor of it.
Yeah, unless, of course, it's either a Jewish person or an infidel like me. Yeah,
exactly. Unless it's a pregnant Jewish woman, and then they may perform it on her themselves.
This we saw 6 months ago, what we know of, I still have baby Kiefer on my wall, not to mention the other atrocities that happened. It's a replay of what's been happening really since World War II. And this somehow sanctioned hatred and bigotry for the Jew is astonishing to me.
Yeah, well, we just saw, it's moving well outside the Middle East too, Sean. We just saw some ominous polling data out of the UK done by the Henry Jackson Society. And I guess the first major news report about it was in the Telegraph, London Telegraph. But I think it was something like 23% rejected the idea of imposing the Sharia in the UK. And then very, very, very interesting matching numbers. Only 24% would admit that Hamas committed these horrific atrocities on October 7th. And also only 24% agreed that Israel had a right to exist. So this is now the Muslim diaspora in a major, Western country.
I was watching.
These are disturbing data.
Well, I was watching a debate in Europe, and it was between Douglas Murray and another talking mannequin in media, and they repeat the same talking point that the Palestinians are victims of an apartheid state, that they were in control of Israel, and their quality of life wasn't due to their policies of Hamas or their theocracy; it was due to the Israelis. But that's all a lie. And
it's an inversion of reality. It's actually projection. Both in the West Bank, so Judea, Samaria, and in Gaza, these are effectively Sharia states, and they impose both religious and gender apartheid. There's a tiny Christian minority in the West Bank. And they are literally paying still for their protection, what would be the Quranic equivalent of the jizya, the Quranic poll tax from Quran 929. And it's just women are brutalized, and it's just ridiculous. And of course, you see. Both of those areas are, as the Nazis used to refer to it, Judenrein or Jew free. And whereas within the Green Line, where modern Israel is it's about one fifth Arab Muslim now, the population.
But the quality of life is that of something that we would not have seen for 400 years. This is something that always gets lost in the debate. Prior to October 7th, the quality of life since Hamas has taken over Palestine, and really arguably before, in any of these theocracy-run countries on this Sharia nonsense, the quality of life is void. There is nothing. They produce nothing. There is no GDP. And during a Senate hearing, Banking Committee hearing today, John Kennedy was questioning Deputy Treasury Secretary Adwali Adyamo, who works for the Biden administration, and they admitted that the policies that America had when it came to Iraq and their ability to buy electricity from Iran, all of the banking, all of the money is all done in Qatar. This is something that goes unmentioned. This is truly a mafia scam, and they run it from Qatar, which is where Hamas lives and the leaders of all of these terrorist organizations. And they live in the lap of luxury while the people suffer, as they always have under this abusive, ridiculous nonsense of an idea of a religion that controls Sharia law. It's preposterous to me.
Well, one of the grave mistakes that even Netanyahu made was that he allowed this Qatar funding of the Hamas, so-called government. The hope was that even Hamas, could move towards some sort of modernity in terms of functioning like a normal state, a normal civil society. I hope they were disabused of that notion, after October 7th, because it was a catastrophe.
And when you realize, when you strip back and you see the funding, and you realize that Qatar has the grace and acceptance by the IMF Bank, and you realize the World Bank is involved, and all of this in the name of charity. And I'm wondering, does that mean when the Americans are funding the energy for Iraq, and they have a $10 billion fund, $10 billion, and the bank and the money is deposited in Qatar, does that mean they can partake in the American banking scheme of fractional lending, and they get $10 for every dollar deposited? Because now we're talking some real numbers. And ultimately, all of this to me is nothing more than what you said in the beginning. This is a way in which Sharia law and the advocates of this 7th century barbarism really extort money. It's always about money. And I'm wondering, has anybody really looked into the banking of Qatar, looked into the IMF Bank, the World Bank, and the kind of loans that are going on? Because if you remember correctly, this is what we heard after the fall of the Soviet Union. All of the oligarchs in corruption and banking ran to their favorite former Soviet Union country, and they set up loan guarantees and schemes. To me, have we really looked at the money of Hamas?
Look, we're supplying some of that money, but a lot of it is coming from Qatar, and it does raise, you know, there are different rules in terms of, you know, there's this whole system of Sharia compliant finance, but in the end, it goes to, you know, to fund jihadism. I mean that's the bottom line.
Well, and the street terrorist, the one who's not sophisticated or connected enough to live in a penthouse in Qatar, they have understood how to take advantage of so-called humanitarian aid. They station their bases in the basements of hospitals. And now we see, as we look into the scandal, allegedly, of the IDF bombing these food workers, that they may have a video of a weapon being exposed from one of these food trucks and fired at IDF. So this is really a way in which they operate in the cloaking under people who help them. They turn them into apparatchiks to this kind of terrorism. Do we know for certain that these vehicles and this food business wasn't used as a cover for street terrorists?
Well, when you read the IDF's own assessment of it, which, you know, did come down pretty hard on their own personnel, they do acknowledge that there was plenty of grounds for confusion, and it may have been deliberately sown by Hamas, that confusion, because, of course, regardless, Hamas got the result they wanted, you know, martyrdom and condemnation of Israel for the killing of these aid workers. But there was apparently, you know, the trucks were pulling into a hub, and there may have been a little bit of a bait and switch where they had, you know, they clearly had some Hamas personnel, you know, even armed personnel going in, and you know, that's when it was green lighted to attack. And then, you know, they may have switched when the trucks pulled out of this depot. And, you know, it again, it's still, according to the report, it still violated, you know, these strict protocols that the IDF is supposed to operate by. But You certainly, in reading the report, you could see how they would have been, that they could be very easily have been confused.
Well, the sad part is to be lured into this kind of debate after the actions that were taken by Hamas. I wonder how many food workers and charity workers were killed in Japan, in Hiroshima, when America dropped the atomic bomb on them. Do we have any of that? Because this is what really sickens me, is that we have been perpetrators of this kind of chaos. When you look under the Obama years, 90% of his drone strikes, 90% killing innocent people across the Middle East, from Syria to Yemen and all around. And now all of a sudden we're the authority in righteousness. I mean, I think if we're going to talk about how many innocent people have been killed, there's been no more of a perpetrator than the American military industrial complex. Am I wrong?
Well, it certainly has its own, you know, record that merits scrutiny that should be at least as probing as what the IDF is being subjected to. But even if you use, you know, there's a very good urban warfare analyst at West Point, John Spencer, and he said, well, okay, even if you take the Hamas figures at face value from their so-called Ministry of Health,
And then you use, you know, the IDF figures on the number of jihadists killed. I think it was something around, you know, 13,000 jihadists have been killed. So once you subtract that number, and you consider this is urban warfare with lots of human shielding, it's a remarkably low civilian to terrorist ratio. So it's unprecedented in the history of urban warfare. So, well, you know, the numbers belie the fact that this is somehow deliberate targeting of civilians, even just ignoring the way Hamas embeds itself. And you see everything that Hamas does is a human rights violation. It being in hospitals, being in schools, mixing military hardware with civilian enclaves. I mean, all of this is a violation of human rights.
I'm having a hard time accepting the duality of insanity we see coming from politicians, not just the ones that are Jewish like Chuck Schumer, but all of the politicians, as on one side of their mouth, they advocate for a ceasefire in the Middle East. And on the same side, seconds later, they advocate that we fund a country steeped in not just scandal of money, but steeped in scandal of Nazi sympathizing, where they still to this day celebrate Stefan Bandera Day in the Ukraine. Can you explain the Ukraine? We don't know the numbers because both governments collude and censor the actual information, but it's estimated that it's in excess of 400,000. They could have wiped out a generation in Ukraine, and nobody calls for a ceasefire there. So that can only boil down to a common denominator. It's because they want the world to accept what happened in Israel, isn't it? I mean, how else can you explain that kind of duality of principles, or the lack of?
Samantha Power and her previous, you know, roles with the Obama administration, was very clear that she eventually saw potential use of the U.S. military against Israel. You know, so
that's where it sounds like it's going, isn't it?
That's the trajectory. That seems to be the trajectory. And it's not, you know, I mean, you know, Biden, I mean, he's a husk of a human being. It's the powers behind him that are really nefarious. And again, using Samantha Power as an example, I wouldn't put it past them. But you know, it's so ridiculous because on the other hand, just yesterday, even a State Department, U.S. State Department spokesperson admitted that, you know, I guess they're still having these ostensible, you know, ceasefire peace talks in Cairo. And he came out, this is, again, our Department of State, that Hamas had rejected even a call for a ceasefire. So what are we really talking about, Sean? There's enough that our own administration is telling us to understand how ridiculous this is on the one level, when it's not, you know, fully dark and nefarious on another level. I mean, Hamas has rejected the latest ceasefire proposal.
You know, Robert Malloy, you know, when you look and you tear apart the Obama policy, and really, let's just...
O'Malley, talk about, yeah.
O'Malley, right? And this guy is ruled in. He's been flipped by the Iranians. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
He gets carted off by a government agency, a bureaucracy, and we hear nothing. Yet the policies that come out continue to enrich Iran. So what exactly is the marriage and the difference between the yard gnomes in Iran and Hamas? Because to me, it all seems insane, but clearly there's a money angle. But what is the relationship between what do they call the high priestess over there in Iran and Hamas?
You mean the supreme leader, you know?
Yeah, high priestess.
Khamenei. Yeah. Yeah, they're major backers of Hamas financially, but also militarily in terms of their training. I do remember reports from October 7th where they allegedly caught some Farsi in being spoken by some of the, you know, some of the jihadists. So. They clearly were, you know, behind the logistics of and the planning for the attack.
Now, early on after September 11th, people really took a dive into exactly the intention of what Sharia law was. We in America had the luxury of logistics, and we didn't have to be too concerned with it. But it was in that deep dive that a lot of people took after September 11th that it was revealed that the spreading of this kind of insanity called Sharia law was the goal of this particular religion. And in Minnesota, quietly, without much news coverage, you have five times a day they blare the Aloha snack bar on the town, and people can pray and all the rest of it. And you see these very centralized hubs of this ideology that has taken hold in Minnesota.
And Dearborn and yeah. Hamtramck. Yeah,
exactly. And we saw this last weekend, Death to America and all the rest of it. Do you estimate that we should, I mean, are you concerned that we have, in fact, been infiltrated by cells that are prepared to create the act of terrorism in this shores the way we kind of pretend is never going to happen again?
People that I know that are in intel are convinced of that, particularly since Biden just ripping apart our border altogether. It's so dysfunctional now that that's not at all an unreasonable suspicion to have. And even if you just look at the numbers that they report in terms of those that have been captured, it makes you shudder to think of those that they didn't capture. So yeah, I mean, it's very plausible.
Which is funnier to you, the fact that the LGBT movement and the Hamas sympathizers are both going to end up supporting the Democrat mafia, or the fact that the pro-abortion crowd and Hamas is going to both support the dimwit in diapers, as he's referred to on my show? Some call him president. Do you have any question in your mind that when push comes to shove in November, they will cast their support behind Joe Biden?
I think overall, yes. But I think there's going to be some loss. You see these big turnouts to snub their nose at Biden by the Muslim communities, particularly, again, in Michigan. I don't know if the same thing happened in Minnesota in terms of the Democratic primary, but it clearly happened in Michigan. And the pressure tactic may work. And then they'll gravitate back to the Democratic Party. I mean, the Biden administration is bending over backwards to accommodate this Muslim vote. So who knows, but I think there's going to be some defiance. To see one of the things that wasn't picked up with this, I was watching one of the speeches in Dearborn, over the weekend. And it was really interesting because one of the spokespersons was deriding the idea of a Western friendly secularized Islam, which is ironic because that's, and by the way, that is completely honest, but it belies the entire narrative of those across the political spectrum. Frankly, it's not just on the left, obviously, it's on the right too. I hear the same crap that the population of Muslims in the United States is Western oriented and secular. And, yeah, right. And here you have this spokesperson just deriding that and puncturing this fantasy Islam that again is promoted not just by the left, it's promoted by conservatives too.
Well, until they start opening up comedy shops on the Gaza Strip, I'm not going to buy a word of it. In the meantime, Dr. Andrew Bostom, I got to have you on again because we got to get into the, as I like to refer it, the clot shot or the vaccine, because I still haven't talked to you about that. I'm dying to get you on. But you wrote the book, The Legacy of Jihad and the Legacy of Islamic Anti-Semitism, and it seems to be what we talk about. But I'm going to have you back on to talk about the shot. Do you mind?
No, not at all.
I appreciate you making time. Dr. Andrew Bostom, thank you so much.
Okay, take care, son.
Thank you. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
Call Sean now, 312-642-5600. AM 560, The Answer. Kick it!
Cancer is, didn't Joe Biden cure cancer? I mean, it's amazing the amount of lies, misappropriation, falsehood. You think it was almost as if it was set up.
Peter, you broke a lot of this years ago about the Biden family influence peddling, and you've got new information this morning, breaking news on a cell phone that Joe Biden was using. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. What is the line of communications between Hunter Biden and his business partners and Joe Biden when he's vice president of the United States? It's not the government phone. It's not Joe Biden's personal phone. We know from the laptop that Hunter Biden's business paid for a private phone line that Joe Biden used while he was vice president. It was from AT&T. It was $300 a month. It was a global phone where you could access somebody anywhere around the world. We shared that phone
anywhere number. Around the world. Pick a foreign policy. Pick a country that has laundered money through Act Blue and other front packs. That doesn't just have to be Ukraine, although that's a good score. What about the communists?
182 Chinese citizens were nabbed at the San Diego border just on Tuesday alone. More than 22,000 nationals, Chinese, have been apprehended at the border since October 1st. Now, that is a 6,300% increase since 2021. Okay, now just listen to what former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo had to say about this. Watch it.
Absolutely certain. We know for sure that we don't have any idea who they are. That is, right. Not only are they mostly gotaways, but even the vetting that we're doing of them is just a handful of simple questions, and then we release them.
Tom, is the CCP, the Communist Party of China, is it flooding America deliberately with these migrants?
Absolutely.
Really? So then how in the world does this not become the topic of the day?
And I tell you what, I really wonder, why did I commute every single day? Over a million miles round trip over the time I was in the United States Senate.
Really? A million miles? I had the clip of him and Xi Jinping and the 17,000. I mean, aren't you just sick of it all? Aren't you just sick of the fact that America would tolerate somebody of such low character, a bald-faced liar, but more importantly, somebody who is a traitor? And we know has the money in his checking account. Chinese communists, not to mention all of the mayhem that's being felt around the country.
Fresno County Sheriff's deputies say the teen, who has not been named because he was 17 at the time of the alleged killing, dismembered 25-year-old Fraley Hernandez back on January 17th. Deputies found Hernandez inside a car in the middle of an orchard near Belmont and Washoe Avenues in Mendota. Officials say Hernandez knew the suspect.
I mean, does it matter? Do the names matter, Lake and Riley? Do the names matter? Or if Donald Trump says he knew that girl and she had such an infectious smile that her family's devastated, that becomes the story. That's how you know that none of the attention of what we were put through during the most successful bioweapon released on mankind will ever be talked about during an election year. You see, other countries are already paying their citizens who have been harmed by the government-mandated vaccine. Has this been talked about in a few months? I don't think it has.
And I think the answer to many of these questions is that actually the government has been in denial that there has been any harm caused by these vaccines, because the government was engaged in a propaganda war to try and persuade people that these vaccines were absolutely safe. And
that's Chris Chopp. And his argument is, England is giving too little money to people who were vaccine injured, most of the time mandated.
Much of the minister's response to my debate on Wednesday was reiterating the platitude that these vaccines are safe. But since then, people have been writing to me and saying, why doesn't the government start conceding the fact that for a lot of people, these vaccines have been a disaster and have wrecked their lives forever?
So Christopher Chope, MP for Christchurch, thank you so much for joining us.
In the meantime, at least they talk about it. In America, we talk about nothing, and we have done our own studies that prove the allegations.
Well, I'm very grateful that he's making the case and standing up for people who are not really being represented. And I think we find it quite hard sometimes to get people on their side. And the reality is that this is a challenging thing to investigate, to see whether or not a vaccine has caused a problem. And there are sort of two types of injury, really. There's the injuries where there's something that's very, very rare in the background population and very, very characteristic. And so when it does occur, you can be pretty convinced it was the vaccine that caused it. But then you can also get injuries where actually it caused something, like hypothetically, let's say a vaccine caused a heart attack. Well, there's an awful lot of heart attacks, and they're not going to compensate everybody that's had a heart attack because that would be a misuse of public funds. So there's a balance to be struck, but we're striking it the wrong way at the moment because we've got people who do have these very characteristic cases of damage where really there's already enough evidence in the public domain that the vaccines are causing these problems. And so then you have to ask a question, what's the morally right thing to do? And it kind of comes down to the probability.
Morally right thing to do. How about just discuss the fact that not only don't we have true information of the origins of the greatest biological weapon released on humanity, but the so-called vaccine not only didn't work, may have caused more death.
There was a big study in America by Hansen et al. 10 million people they followed up to look at who had had Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a problem where the immune system attacks the nervous system. And they found that the rate in the first 3 weeks after AstraZeneca was 20 per million. So it's not massive. It's a small number, 20 per million. And that would work out at 500 extra cases in the UK after the vaccine rollout campaign. So for these, what it also would mean is that if you've had that problem in that three-week period, the chances are 95% it was the vaccine that caused it and 5% that it wasn't. And the government seemed to be taking the approach that unless you can prove you're in the 95%, you're not going to get compensated. Whereas clearly, morally, the right thing to do is to compensate everybody, including the 5% that were coincidental.
Because Europe, Australia, have already been compensating people who have been victims of vaccine injury. We don't even talk about it during an election year. Is it because both sides stepped and fetched and agreed without any critical thought? Both sides perpetrated the kind of fascism, totalitarianism we never thought would touch these shores. One thing's for sure. If we continue to just step and fetch, they will win on the abortion. And I don't mean win because they got more votes. They didn't win the last time because of that. They will buy the plausible deniability, and they will step and they will fetch, and they will pretend that Joe Biden is somehow capable of doing anything.
The last administration enacted a $2 trillion tax cut, overwhelmingly benefiting the very wealthy and the biggest corporations, and exploded the federal deficit more than any other president has. We've cut the deficit, by the way.
Wrong. And where are the Republicans? Where are the Republicans?
Democracy is messy sometimes, but it is our system. This conference that you see, this House Republican majority, is united. This group.
They're the ones that fund all of it. 312-642-5600.
Broadcasting from the petri dish of corruption known as the state of Illinois.
In the upper Midwest, the nation, and around the world.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
And those Republicans that try to stand for something or do something are ridiculed. There arguably hasn't been a congressperson that's been ridiculed more than Marjorie Taylor Greene. What I like about her is she doesn't give a rip.
Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is not backing down on her threats to unseat House Speaker Mike Johnson. This morning she sent a letter to her Republican colleagues trying to build support for ousting him. In the letter, Greene accused Johnson of failing to deliver on promises and breaking legislative procedural rules.
Really? All I thought about is how excited and how they're going to promote more wasting of our money.
Is the president going to discuss the high-speed rail in Texas? And how does he square support for that with opposing the DuPont Steel merger or acquisition of U.S. Steel?
I can't tell you standing here today whether the high-speed rail issue will come up tomorrow or not.
Man, this is going to be great. They're going to steal hundreds of billions of dollars. It'll be like Ukraine without the Azovs.
Comes just one day after a town hall.
If I had it my way, we would have impeached him a long time ago. Actually, if I had it my way, we would have been successful in our objection on January 6th, and he wouldn't even be president.
This right-wing Republican from Georgia also condemned her party, saying that if they win the House in November, it would only be because Trump is on the ballot, not because they earned it.
I'm wondering, what happens if he is successfully imprisoned? Has anybody thought of that? Because that's exactly the direction we're going in. By hook or crook is exactly the Democrat motto. And none of the facts of the Biden policies seem to matter to the Biden voters.
I anticipate that we'll continue to see steady progress on inflation over coming months. But of course, that's really important for American consumers. So we're going to keep our eye on that. But I anticipate inflation will continue the remarkable progress that it's made.
Remarkable progress that it's made. So you've lost 22 cents out of every dollar of buying power. And that's remarkable progress. I guess it's not really a lie if you believe it, right, Costanza?
Let's get into that line from Mr. Bullard. He's left the FOMC. He can speak a little bit more openly, as you can as well. Your base case is still two. When do we start to see another bump in the road, together with all the other bumps in the road, no longer be called bumps in the road on the FOMC?
I think it's going to take time. I think Chair Powell has made it very clear that he's willing to look through these bumps.
Look through these bumps. This is a fascinating time when you realize the amount of people on welfare, the amount of bankruptcies, the amount of delinquent mortgages and car payments, the fact that we are in an economic recession and nobody even discusses it. And we pretend that this imbecile has done anything for the American people except turn us into a welfare nation. And that's really the plan. Right on schedule.
His phrase, the inflation story hasn't changed, so they will need overwhelming evidence that it is more than a bump in order for them to change their views.
You think they're too sensitive to recent data and maybe not being strategic enough. What do you mean by that?
So I think
strategic? I mean, you mean with these Democrat-elected politicians, we're not getting strategy? You mean like Sheila Jackson Lee and the intellect of the Texas congresswoman?
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. And sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon?
What? And the Democrats cheer.
The gas is such that we could do that. The sun is a mighty powerful heat. It is almost impossible to go near the sun.
Almost, squirrel. But then you could fly right into it. What the hell is this? Oh, there's a Democrat.
The moon is more manageable. And you will see in a moment, or not a moment, you'll see.
Why don't we send Hamas and the LGBTQ community on a shuttle up to the moon and check in on them in 10 years and see how they do?
A couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Oh, boy. I hope it's cheaper than Ukrainian Azov stealing our money. 312-642-5600.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty.
Government supremacy has many names. Slave master versus the slave is the outcome of all of it, whether you pretend it's socialism or communism or the nuanced Marxism. Maybe the name of it is next-gen Marxism. My next guest is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and he's also the author of the book Next-Gen Marxism, What Is It and How Can We Combat It? He is Mike Gonzalez. Thank you so much for joining me, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Sean. How are you?
Wonderful.
I'm the co-author. The other author is Katie Gorka.
Oh, fantastic. So I'm curious, what kind of led you to believe that this is Marxism and not a version of Trotskyite or or Stalinism or Sovietism, because it's really all the same thing. One just has different color lipstick than the other, doesn't it?
Yeah, so this is a very evolved form of Marxism. But I tell you, the features that it shares with the original Marxism invented by Marx himself in 1848 in the Communist Manifesto, and the one that has the biggest impact on our lives, Sean, is this reduction of every relationship. This conversation that you and I are having, every relationship to an epic struggle between the oppressed and the oppressor. And that zero-sum game is in the first page of the manifesto, where Marx wrote and his sugar daddy Engels wrote that all of human history boils down to an epic struggle between the oppressor and the oppressed. And that is what causes students today to support terrorists, to support Hamas, to ignore the gang, the women the gang raped on October 7th in Israel, to ignore the kids they burned to death, to ignore the hostages, all the depravity that Hamas visited. So you have this aberrant behavior because kids have been taught, have been reared in schools, especially university, into this Marxist view of life. And I'll just give you four more in quick succession and let you ask me more questions.
Sure.
It's this idea that also comes directly from Marx, that the family must be abolished, that the nation state must be abolished, that the private property must be abolished, and that God himself must be abolished. That also comes directly from Marx. There are many differences that are really, really important. And if you want, we can get into those. But that is Marxist then. That is Marxism now. These things are very prevalent, pervade our culture, Sean. Pervade our culture.
So communism and socialism, and different variations of Soviet lifestyles is really about a certain, it includes a kind of patriotism, a nuanced country philosophy. But what Marxism is, if I understand you correctly, is a world vision of government collectivism, is this idea that the governments are to control all citizens regardless of borders, and it is supposed to be done from a central organization that has authority over all countries. Do I have it about right?
Yeah, you have it about right. I would say that the Soviet Union and Stalin shared that idea. They tried to communize the United States. They tried to divide us. They also used the racial issue because we're so divided over race. They for at one point in the between the 30s and the 50s, they wanted to create, they called two republics. They wanted there to be a Black American republic in the South. That didn't go anywhere. Black Americans were no part of that. Black Americans were patriotic, even though they were going through Jim Crow, and the Soviet Union failed at doing that. But the Soviet Union also wanted to have an international empire.
What's amazing to me about this movement, Mike, is that you have to remember, you're talking to people from Chicago. We've dealt with government mafias for 100 years in Chicago. The reality is none of the policies, and I mean none of them, work for the ordinary man, the ordinary citizen. They are self-enriching Ponzi schemes or fraud schemes or, you know, graphs of policy. And that's really how you can describe all of the Democrat philosophies, this version of American Marxism light. But yet the people still bend knee to it. And when you see these new entities pop up like the Climate Corps, and it's funded to the tune of billions and billions and billions of dollars, and you ultimately realize the so-called Republicans are the ones stroking the check, that's the real problem. There's always been willful slaves among humans. There's a safety in slavery. But this is the time in America where I see zero resistance outside of a small few of us who are labeled as MAGA or radical or right wing. Why, in your opinion, have so many Republicans bent knee to it? Is it just because there's a lot of money in corruption? How do you explain it?
So I agree with you and disagree with you.
All right.
Which one you want first, the agreement or the disagreement?
Let's go disagreement. All right, let's get it out of the way.
All right. So I see the American people as fighting back. I see a lot of fight. I travel the country. This week I'm going to be in New York City. Next week I'm going to be in California. And then I'm going to go to Texas. So I travel extensively, put myself through a lot of bad hotel rooms. And I see suicide-inducing. So I see a lot of Americans saying, no, we want no part of this. And in fact, I'm cheered by that. I was kidding about the suicide inducement because actually I think they filled me with a desire to tell our leaders, be they political leaders or be they media leaders or the activists, the American people need our help. The American people need policy that will help them. The American people cannot fight this alone. Where I agree with you, sadly, is with the Republican Party. You mentioned climate change. All of these are just fronts. The issue is never the issue, Sean. The issue is the revolution.
Oh, and
climate change. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, by the way, I want you to understand, I never meant the people. The citizens, I'm talking about their so-called representatives. It's amazing to me how you could get these guys to come to our little local communities and talk like Ronald Reagan or Margaret Thatcher, but the minute they get to Caligula for Nerds called Washington, D.C., it's all out of the window. And that's really the flaw in the Republic. You only really have to corrupt 435 congressmen, 100 senators, and a president and an office tramp. In this case, right? I mean, it's 537 people set the tone for our society. The people are almost irrelevant. And I'm wondering how the politicians who are elected every 2 years manage to stay in control when they backstab the people on a regular basis.
Yeah, no, I roughly agree with your assessment there. I think there's a few good apples. Jim Banks, who endorsed my book, Next Gen Marxism, gave me a blurb for my book. He's very good. Mike Lee in the Senate. Jim Banks is in the House from Indiana. Mike Lee is the senator from Utah. Also very good. I would say Ted Cruz is very good. But by and large, and let me say something. You know who's a breakout surprise in the Democrats?
Who?
Much better than we thought. This is going to shock you. John Fetterman. John Fetterman.
Well, sure. He's learning everything again. And it turns out, I love the fact he's learning everything again. And if you learn from fact, you can't be a Democrat. I think you're right.
Yeah, so he's a breakout surprise. Obviously, I'm not endorsing anybody. I'm just quoting Bolton.
Ironically, now he's better than Dr. Oz with the dyed hair who said his hair went back to black because he ate bananas or some nonsense. So I agree with you. It could be worse, but still, it's always funny, Mike. We're in this position where it's just a handful here and there, and then you're told there's going to be a change. You know what I'm more apoplectic about than anything? This Mike Johnson. This to me is a king fraud, because this is what I saw happen to my once great state of Illinois. Once that culture of corruption works its way into the system, it becomes a systemic problem. And then the handful of individuals really are neutered because the people in power are always the smile to your face and stab you in the back. Mike Johnson has stroked 3 continuing resolutions, and the last one he didn't even bother to pretend was anything other than an omnibus bill that funds the Climate Corps launch that was being held off by that small majority prior to it. So he's worse than all the rest, isn't he?
Well, let me answer this in another way. You mentioned climate. These new Marxists, these new Marxian Marxists, they create these fronts that are frauds, right? They create a front over climate.
Yeah.
They create a front over sex. They create a front over race. They create a front over Palestine. But every once in a while, and it happens fairly often, they will tell the truth. There will be somebody who will be talking about the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, Chrystia Freeland, was saying, hey, look, you know, the climate problem is so big, we cannot solve it with capitalism or with democracy. Capitalism and democracy are not going to let us solve the climate problem. They're saying that on the quote-unquote Palestine issue, they come out and say that too. They say, well, what we want to do is dismantle the United States. So you hear them. So this is where I'm coming back to the question you asked. Because ostensibly, Sean, it's about race and sex. You go to Congress and you say, well, Congressman, this is just, for example, the Latino Museum thing. The Latino Museum is a disgrace, Sean. It's a disgrace. It teaches what it does. The curators are a bunch of Marxists. They want to instill in Latinos a grievance mentality so they hate the United States. So you go to Congress and you say that to them and say, no, there's no way to fix the Latino Museum. You should have never funded it in the first place. You need to cut funding. And they recoil from that because they'll say, oh, but people are going to say we hate Latinos. Like, look, this is a guy named Gonzalez telling you this. I can bring a guy named Alfonso who will tell you this. I can bring a woman named Sanabria who will tell you this. And they're afraid of their own shadow. What you're seeing, and I'm seeing this in polling, I'm taking a look at a lot of polling, Sean.
Yes.
In states like Nevada and Arizona, Hispanics are walking away from the left because they've had it up to their back teeth with all the cultural issues.
So it's always a cold civil war. That's just the fact of it. So I know I know you're pressed for time, but it's heating up. The civil war is heating up. I believe that when the corruption becomes so systemic, it's normalized and people are backed between heads I win and tails you lose, the old gangster coin flip. That's when the Leviathan wins. That's how I feel we are positioned in America today. So I'm wondering, how do you view it? Because ultimately the schemes fail, but the people have to go through decades of totalitarianism, as the former Soviet Union did. Do you think it grabs a bigger hold in the future, or that the American people can push it off at this particular juncture in history?
I think the latter. Now, I've always, the American people have never lost their liberty, and yet they love liberty. So I was a bit scared in 2020 when far too many of our fellow Americans were more than willing to lose their freedom to stay at home, to say, no, we cannot go to church. No, we're going to wear a triple mask to the bathroom. I'm going to take a shower with a triple mask. Far too many of our fellow Americans, chose safety over freedom. But I think at the end of the day, the American people will always be for freedom. That's the reason I remain optimistic. I'm just telling you the truth, man. I'm telling you as I see it.
No, I appreciate it. And more importantly, I can't wait to go through the book called Next Gen Marxism, what it is and how to combat it. He is Mike Gonzalez. Thank you so much. And tell Mrs. Gorka I appreciate her effort as well. And I had the pleasure of meeting her husband, who I really got along with. So thank you very much for making time for me. I know you're pressed for it.
No, I'm good. And you got the book, right? I sent it to you.
Yes. Thank you very much. You could have signed it to your favorite radio host, but that's okay. I understand.
Next time I'm there to see the Cubbies.
All right,
I'm
very
drop
well.
By.
You come to Florida, you get a cigar and a steak. You know, Chicago is so bad, the radio host can't live there. Thank you very much, Mike Gonzalez.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. We'll be back with your calls and comments.
This is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer. We take care of our
own. Are we being heckled, Squirrel? We're being heckled on Rumble. It's all right. And he's right. I do have a tremendous amount of books. It's one of the perks of the job I absolutely love. But I'm going to tell you right now, I cheat. There's apps that I've had for years that can convert books into Audible. And I also have Audible. And the reason that I do that is that I like to flip around. And I walk and exercise and drive and work. So I do that. But I love when an author comes out with a new book and maybe there's something in there that I didn't dissect in The Devil and Karl Marx or any of the other philosophies that attack the ridiculous, corrupt nature of government collectivism. So, yes, I do have a lot of books, but I don't need a storage unit. I have a studio where Dan Proft and I broadcast from the closet. The front looks like a library. Chris in Wheaton.
Yes, sir. Thanks so much for what you do. Bro, oh, it's great.
Thank you. I can't believe they let me do it. I'm having the time of my life, kid.
I love it. I like that last caller that you had. I have a lot of exposure through many people throughout the country and been a musician for years. I was also a commodity broker back in, I don't know when you were there, but I was there and I worked with Refco.
Tim Gauna, Kurt Kakritz, these are some of my closest friends from the old Refco desk. I was there the week before the crash was my first day. And I was, I was just in awe. I was 18 years old. And I saw a kid who I casually knew from a couple of neighborhoods. And during the crash, mm-hmm. he made
a tremendous amount of money. And I went home. My mother and I were worried about the rent. And I told my mother, I said, I know if that guy can do it, I can do it. And I stayed there till 2005. So Refco was actually a great company. Tom Dittmer, who was a great guy and a scallywag all at the same time, wasn't he? Great guy and a scallywag. He's the one who was in bed with the Clintons when she did that trade. And his wife at the time became the ambassador to some phony island or something. And it's funny how you were able. You knew that, right? Did you know that?
I actually didn't know Dittmer was involved in that one.
Yeah, oh, come on. In fact, he wrote a book that I'm going to try and get him on. He's a very interesting guy. But it's amazing to see how things have changed and how that city, which was once great. I mean, how many guys were there? The argument is between 100 and 180,000 people who derive their income from just those two exchanges. Think about that. It's tremendous.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. So I was long time gone before then because I actually left and was playing with some fairly large names. It's not even important. I'm not calling about me, but I'm still in contact with many of the people I've known throughout the years. And what amazes me is most of the music industry is pretty liberal. And I know people now that actually like Donald Trump that couldn't stand him back when he was president. And it's because of what's happening to the guy now. It is so obvious. And there's way more than half. We're being told it's half of the country is for Biden and the other half's not. That's baloney, I'm telling you.
I hope you're right.
We're like 70, 80. Well, I'm talking about people now. I'm not talking about businesses.
No, I hear you.
A whole different thing.
Well, that's how
because
I always
they've
felt.
They've got everybody by the short ones because they can really manipulate everybody. Take the shot or you lose your job.
Well, you know what's funny is that these idiots in media, these morons who can't fit 35 people in a room, and when they do, they make it look like 300. They're telling society that that's it. Your principles are over with. And the reality is what you do now, what you used to do, and all of us, the reason we have the wealth and the quality of life is because our government was emaciated. It didn't exist in this caliber, and it never should again. But it's because of that word you said, Chris. I'm convinced of it. And it was really brought to my attention, not by Milton Friedman, who tried to and did a great job, but it's John Wayne. Do you remember John Wayne in the 70s when he did the interview? He said, I thought I was always a liberal. And it's at that moment that the Marxists, the communists, the socialists, they took that word because they're wordsmiths and they bastardized meanings. You see, I'm the real liberal. You're the real liberal. It isn't liberal to force people to stick a vaccine in their arm or shut their business down or start something called the climate corps. That's communism, man. So people need to be made aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, the thing is the majority of people, and this is going to blow you away because it blew me away. At least I think it will. Louis Farrakhan is all for Donald Trump. He thinks he's the real deal.
Yeah, Louis Farrakhan is an interesting scallywag.
He's a very interesting person. He's got some points, and he's also
a little bit of anti-Semitism and hatred. But here's the other thing:
people in the world that were in the blues thing is called
People sweep under the rug the scandal of the '60s when he was a young man and just full of hate and stupidity.
I'm not standing up for him.
No, I know what you're saying.
It was surprising.
Yeah, but number one, he wears those suits because he never paid taxes, which all of those phony reverends, street side reverends don't pay. But if you remember that Nation of Islam and the scandal back then with the El Rukins and the drug distribution of what used to be called Heroin, that quietly went away. Thank you very much, Chris and Wheaton. I so appreciate you making the call. You too, and taking the time. You see, it's always about the freaking money. Nobody talks about that. Another phony tax dodger. He's like Al Sharpton, only he can speak in full sentences. Whatever happened with the big scandal of the Nation of Islam and the El Rukins and the Heroin? Oh, it graduated to what? Fentanyl and Hezbollah? You're not fooling anybody, Islamo-Nazis. I see what you are. 312-642-5600. We'll be back.
Marxists, socialists, and communists are not welcome on the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560, The Answer. AM 560, The Answer. At the
Copacabana. Oh, Barry Manilow. The hottest spot north of Hawaii. I remember.
remember when everybody thought he was heterosexual, like Mark Kirk. Mark Kirk, a Republican. Him and Lindsey Graham were just friends. In the meantime, Mark Kirk was a step and fetch establishment whore who now is a lobbyist. So when he's replaced by Tammy Duckworth, is it really that big of a difference?
What do you say to people who are worried about the economy and might think Donald Trump's better on the economy, but are also worried about the issue of abortion? Do you think one issue trumps, not to use the word trumps, but one issue outweighs the other?
Well, he was terrible for the economy. Thank goodness Joe Biden got into office, because Joe Biden pulled us out of a potential recession.
There it is. Chicago elected her and will continue to elect her because she's a Democrat. She's dead wrong and stupid, but she's never made more money. Ooh, Tammy Duckworth, raking it in, all dolled up. She looks fantastic, like Mark Kirk dreamt of looking. Lloyd in Gary, Indiana.
Hey, Sean, how you doing tonight?
Good, kid. How are you?
All right. Hey, I wanted to bring this up, but it was kind of a weird time. You guys were talking about it in your last segment, so I figured it'd be a good time to bring it up. You know, you're always saying you're a liberal and stuff, which, hey, that's cool, but I can't find it on the internet other than the quote that Malcolm X is always saying, the white liberal is the black man's worst nightmare. Why is that?
Because he identified them as the American corrupt Marxist and collectivist. He understood that. He said, beware the self-described white liberal. He comes at you with a smile like a wolf, right? Or a coyote. I can't remember the exact. For a fox. Like
but
a
that
fox.
Was back in the 60s, though.
Yeah, it was. I listened and read, and I looked up a lot of what he said. It was just, you know, it's very interesting what his opinion prior to going to so-called Mecca and coming back. It's very interesting, and then you realize that the Nation of Islam is exactly who killed Malcolm X. There's no question about it, because he provoked thought, especially after he came back from Mecca and stopped spewing the anti-Semitism hatred that puts money in the pockets and puts $6,000 suits on Farrakhan's back. So it's interesting perspective.
Yeah,
what he understood is that they're not really a liberal. When I call myself a liberal, it's because if you believe in the principles of the Enlightenment, what this nation is built on, the sovereignty of the individual and the unalienable rights of each and every one of us, you have no choice but to be a liberal. When I say I reject people who call themselves conservative, look at who I'm rejecting. I'm rejecting Mitch McConnell. I'm rejecting Mitt Romney. I'm rejecting all kinds of self-enriching frauds like Dick Cheney and George W. Bush. I reject all of them.
They're all part of the Uniparty,
because
though.
Words are important, and we allowed these words to be stolen and bastardized. And now here we are arguing against what exactly? Lies? I'm more of somebody who believes in the truth and the fact. And I want to reject the government collectivism and the power and the swindles and the scams. The conservative doesn't. He just wants to be in charge of it. So that's why I call myself a liberal. I think it's very important. But I also want to expose the mafia. And that's the Democrat calling himself the liberal. And that's what Malcolm X was afraid of. I'll get the quote. We'll play it tomorrow. Thank you, Lloyd, for the idea. Curtis in Chicago.
How you doing, Sean?
Good, Curtis. How are you, my friend?
Hello?
Yeah, you're there.
I'm good. Okay, I want to talk about how Israel being way too nice with Hamas. They're being way too soft. I mean, what they should do, and I think they should have done from the country, I'm saying no food, no water, nothing comes through Israel, no electricity, nothing. And so you turn over all the hostages and the people who came over and killed them. I think that's what they should have done.
Because
they're a lot more attacks than firing a lot of shots.
It's common sense. It's common sense. You know, nobody talks about what we did during not just World War II, but pick a war. Pick a Bill Clinton war in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Madeleine Albright, 500,000 kids. Do you think it's worth it? We think it's worth it. I mean, it's astonishing. All of a sudden, we're the arbiters of righteousness. And let's not forget, Barack Obama, responsible for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of deaths.
Oh, yeah. He was a horrible guy.
But 90% of his drone strikes, 90% killed people eating dinner. Had nothing to do with terrorism.
Oh, yeah. That was horrible. And I was in the service, so I understand that was horrible. I used to shoot artillery rounds, so I understand how to hit the target right and how they couldn't mess it up. I mean, that's horrible they did that. And
see,
I
Curtis,
think you should have been arrested for it, but they couldn't. But one other thing I want to talk about was the tax thing. Keep saying tax cuts costs, and that's a bad net. That's a false narrative, because keep your own money is always a good thing, because it does far more for the economy with the citizen holding it than versus the government holding it.
And what you did right now, Curtis, what you did right now, no elected Republican calling himself a conservative in a position of power has ever done. I've never heard Mike Johnson articulate that. You let the man keep his own money, the business keep his own money, versus the government that takes it away and wastes trillions, and they're unaccounted for. Curtis, that's why, you know, Netanyahu should have called you, but when the inevitable happens, I'm moving you down to Florida by me. Thank you, Curtis. You know how to hit the target, baby. I appreciate it. Mark in the Western Burbs.
Yeah, hey, Sean. You know, I always hear you talking about religion in different aspects, and you know, I'm a born-again Christian, and I just wanted to say that Jesus was either a lunatic, a liar, or who he said he was. And I really hope people in your audience investigate who he is. I, like you, am against religion because religion is a false narrative. It's really a relationship with Christ.
Yeah. You know when I learned that? Do you know when I learned that? When I was a kid.
When
I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I never use it as a shield. When I talk about abortion, I don't talk about religion. I don't think you have to. What kind of a human being would kill the most helpless form of humanity? The most helpless, can't defend itself, can't vote. All it needs is this mother. And we're supposed to not only support the idea that people can kill that baby, but people like me, who know what it is, have to pay for it. Because after all, the vast majority of the people that support it, they don't really pay taxes. That's why it's easy to give away money and pay the people who murder the baby. You know, it's an interesting perspective, and I'll leave it for each and every one of you to decipher. Oh, boy. What's he going to talk about now? Could be anything from Socrates to some man in a costume chasing a ball, but he's a Chicago Democrat who acquired a taste for that pasty white ass that he kissed to get the pension. Well, now he's on it. Are you loving every minute of it, Cream Puff?
Tell you what.
Yeah.
Immigration's on the old brain today. Immigration, I was just reading the turn of the 20th century when the eugenics, they were measuring people's noses and they were measuring their ears.
You mean Mark?
Wait, hear this. Yeah. The white Anglo apparently had the best shaped skull. Right. And then second to that was more Northern European. And then the Irish were third.
Third?
They were a little kinky around.
You must have had your pants on.
Skulls.
Yeah.
That they were third. And then they had the Jews. They were morons. And then the, you name it. You know, it went down the list.
And this is eugenics. You're talking about the eugenics that was promoted by Margaret Sanger.
Oh, yeah, well, that got promoted by Margaret. This is promoted by everybody in immigration.
Yeah, but she made a business out of it.
But then the third, when the Republican Party morphed from the Federalists to the Whigs, to the no-nuties were brutal. They just absolutely hated every immigrant that ever lived. They despised the Irish, they despised the Italians, they despised everybody. You know, it's interesting. Trump had about 60 illegal immigrants working on his golf course. And one of them came forward and said, well, I do the plumbing. I do the electricity. He was too cheap to hire anybody who was union. He wouldn't hire anybody union if his life depended on it.
Well,
that's what's so weird about the guy. How cheap can you be? You hate immigrants, but in the meantime, you'll hire them to do anything for you.
Well,
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it?
Unions don't deliver
mediocrity. You don't have enough to work their behinds off for
they
you.
Don't
you
do anything. Mediocrity at extremely high prices. But that does keep guys like you in your apartment. What is on the menu tonight? Is it pot roast? What do you got cooking? Because you didn't really work in the union. You just kissed that Democrat-elected derriere. You got yourself a mystical, magical pension. I never degrade guys who are extorted to work in the union, but I certainly go after their leadership. Because you know who else doesn't work is them. Never work! Cook up all kinds of corruption. And I don't know if what you said is true about illegal aliens. Maybe they had one of those work permits. How would you know? Because the Democrats never have to tell the truth, and they never did. They lie, but I like to tell the truth. When he was talking about eugenics, he was onto something. When he was talking about the Klan, he was also onto something. All started by a whore named Margaret Sanger, a Democrat idol, an absolute and total racist. And the business she started is the one we all fund that's responsible for 75 million babies being murdered. The real leading cause of death among children in America. It's called Planned Parenthood, right? Dirty racist whore.
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents,
that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things, just marked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin that people can commit.
What she meant marked when they were born is if they were black. She was a rabid racist. Spoke to the Ku Klux Klan 3 times. And it's ironic. It's the black people who have been victims of that kind of hatred. After all, what's the population of blacks? Exactly what it was when she started killing them. Funded by Democrats. 312-642-5600.
He's Sean Thompson.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
And this is the Sean Thompson Show on AM 560. The Answer. AM 560. The Answer.
Oh, what happened to Len? All right. We'll wait for tomorrow. What was Aisha? How old was Aisha? Which was, what was his second wife? Was she six? Six-year-old. Do six-year-olds make good wives? I don't think they do. That's a little creepy. Cara, Orlando, Florida.
Okay, Sean, I figured you'd get a kick out of this. Bidenomics.com is not owned by the White House or Joe Biden. It's an outside, probably conservative company that's just showing all the rhetoric and what's really happening. I just figured you'd get a kick out of it. That's how inept they are. They can't even buy Bidenomics.com. It's probably 99 cents.
Oh, I love it. You know, that used to be a hobby of mine. My wife was livid with me. I would get an idea and I'd call up, I want to buy this one. And I bought BidenVotersKeepOut.com. And
nice.
Nice. And I've got a ton of them. In fact, I have one that I know I'm going to develop. It's going to be great. But I love all that. And they're not too quick on the uptake. What did it cost the American people under Barack Obama, who tried to get a website up for that scam called Obamacare? Oh. You remember that debacle? How many tens
that.
Of millions of dollars? Then they launch it. It can't. You see, Cara, none of their policies ever work. But you have to be nervous because it doesn't seem to matter to their moron voters. All they have to do is get a hold of some fraud, fallacy, fantasy that they want, and they'll vote for anybody. Thank you very much for the phone call. Because you realize who makes loyal step and fetch Democrats are like Cream Puff Jim. They voted for gangsters that they knew were destroying their city. Why? Because it delivered some fat ass, useless pension they knew they didn't deserve or could never earn. Well, what do you think is going to happen when you're talking 50,000 new employees per state?
Also this morning, an exclusive report from NBC News. The Biden administration is one step closer to launching its American Climate Corps program.
After experiencing some setbacks in Congress, the administration now says it has unlocked funding for the program, which was created to employ thousands of young Americans in the clean energy, conservation, and climate resilience sectors. NBC News White House correspondent Monica Alba joins us now with more on these details. Hey, Monica, good to see you. So what do we know about the American Climate Corps and its purpose?
Well, let's stop the Marxist fraud there. What you should know is it was funded by the Republicans, Mike Johnson. 50,000 new Marxist foot soldiers that have the power of creating and enforcing law. It'll be called regulation, but it'll shut down businesses and the quality of your life. It'll take your gas stoves out. It's the new Gestapo brown shirt, because what we're facing is the Fourth Reich. That's what you have to understand. Reject all government supremacy, even when it pretends to employ you. We'll be back tomorrow to expose more of it. Nell, I'm sorry I didn't get to you. If you were on the line, I'll get to you tomorrow. Have a good night.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.